Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to JTalk Extra Time. John Steer here as usual. This is part two of our big J2 season preview for 2023. So in a moment, myself and James Taylor, along with some special guests, will run through seven different sides for you. We're going to start up north in Tohoku. We're going to talk about Akita, Yamagata, Iwaki, and Sendai. And then we're going to switch our attentions to Shizuoka and talk about Fujieda, MyFC, Jubilo Iwata, and Shimizu S-Pulse. For anyone who's listening to JTalk Extra Time for the first time, welcome aboard. We're a kind of sister pod or little brother pod, if you like, to the big JTalk podcast. They focus on J1 and Japan national team affairs, whereas in JTalk Extra Time, we look at J2, the second tier, and with the help of Magic Mike Innes in the JTalk Short Corner segment, we cover J3, the third division, as well. So if you're discovering us for the first time, nice to see you, or nice to hear you, or nice for you to hear me. And hopefully you'll stick with us for the forthcoming 2023 season. But that's enough from me, I think. So generally you're going to hear me and James talking about the teams in Tohoku and Shizuoka in this episode. But before that, our first team to talk about in this pod is Blaublitz Akita. And we have a special guest to help us with that. It's Martin Spivey at Bantam84 on Twitter. So here comes Martin with the Akita preview.
Hello everyone, I'm Martin Spivey. And today I'm going to give a 2023 season preview on Blaublitz Akita. So first of all, my thoughts on the new signings. There's been quite a turnover of players this winter. We've brought in three new goalkeepers in Kentaro Kakoi from Sagamihara, Genki Yamada from Toyama, and Akihito Ozawa from Mito Hollyhock. I'm not actually sure who is going to be the regular. I think it might be Genki Yamada because he's slightly younger than the other two at 28 years old. He has a reasonable amount of J2 and J3 experience, although just about 100 games played so far. Centre-back, we brought in Kyoan Hoshi from Yokohama, and he was on loan at Iwaki, I think until the summer, I think for the first half of last season. And then I think a personal issue meant he had to go back to his club. And also Takahashi Kawano's come in from Kita Kyushu in J3. He doesn't have too much experience at this level. He's played 22 games in J2 so far, but he's only 26, and so it'll be interesting to see how they do at centre-back. We brought in Takuma Mizutani at left-back. He's from Nagano. He's even played a little bit in J1, I think about 15 appearances in J1. I think he was at S-Pulse previously. So, hopefully he'll be a regular at left-back, and then maybe Ryutaro Iyo will go up into midfield. But in centre of midfield, we've brought in Hiroto Tanaka, 32-year-old from Ehime in J3. And he's got a wealth of experience at this level. He's played 220 games in J2. So I suspect he'll be a starter regularly. And then Hiroto Monoka has come in from Fukushima. He's only ever played at J3 level at the highest so far in his career, but he's 26, so it's a good age to come in, and hopefully he'll develop even further. Also, Junki Hata's come in, a striker from Gifu. He's 28 years old, and he's played almost 100 games at J2 level, so I think he'll be an interesting signing. And we've actually, interestingly enough, brought in some loans. This is the first time we've ever done it under Ken Yoshida, the head coach, but certainly in J2. We brought in a young centre-back called Kaito Abe, 23, and he's from Okayama. And Shion Niwa is 28, from Kanazawa, on loan, as well as Yukihito Kajiya, who's a striker from Sagan Tosu in J1. So it's a little difficult to know who's the most important of those new signings, but I think it'll be interesting to see how Shion Niwa does from Kanazawa on loan. He scored a few goals at this level, But last season wasn't a great one, and it sounds like his confidence dipped a little bit. So if he can, if he fits well into the team and can have a good run and score a few goals, then yeah, that'd be brilliant for us. I'd be curious to see how Kyohan Hoshi and Takashi Kawano do at centre back. That, you know, they're 25 and 26 respectively, and they've got no, they've played a few games at J2 level, and even so Hoshi's played I think a bit for Yokohama in J1 too. So if they can get that, you know, if they can hit the ground running, they could be really important for us. Yeah, okay. So as for departures, there've been quite a few key players. About half the team has left, half the first team regulars. So Yudai Tanaka in goal, he's moved on to Hiroshima in J1. I must say I was a little bit surprised at that. I don't know if he's going to be a regular starter there. He's obviously an excellent shot stopper, but yeah, his distribution, his sort of kicking can leave a lot to be desired at times. So I'll be interested to see how he does there. I mean, all the best to him. It's a bit of a blow for us because, yeah, he's a great shot stopper, but we'll see. Also, interestingly, Yoshiaki Arai, another goalkeeper, is also 27. He's gone on to Oita Trinita, another J2 side. A bit disappointed, actually. Yeah, he played one or two games and looked quite solid, but he just couldn't keep Tanaka out, unfortunately. I was just, you know, it would have been nice if he'd have become the number one this season, but never mind. Kaito Chida, at 28, centre-back. He's been with us 6 years, six seasons, and he's moved on to Tokyo Verdy. I'll be honest, a little bit surprised. I think he has played really well, but he is quite sort of slow and does make a few mistakes. But obviously, you know, he's mostly been really solid for us. But so, yeah, it is a bit disappointing to see him go. The most disappointed to see go is, I'm disappointed anyway, is Jurato Ikeda, 26-year-old centre-back. We only had him for one season, and he's gone on to Machida Zelvia in J2, obviously. And he came from Ehime. He's tall and strong, quite comfortable on the ball, likes to dribble it from defense sometimes. We don't often do that very much as a team, but he sometimes would just bring the ball out of defense and go on a sort of 30-40 yard run into midfield. So yeah, it's he was the one I really wanted to keep, but I did sort of suspect that he'd get snapped up by someone, and lo and behold, he has been. I think he's out of all the ones that have left, he's probably got I don't know if he can become a J1 regular in future, but I think he's got the potential to go quite a bit higher, I think. And also joining him at Machida is centre midfielder Shuto Inaba, who's 29 and played 73 games for us in J2 for a couple of seasons. Yeah, again, it's disappointing to see him go. He has been really solid for us, and he has played really well. And it'll be interesting to see how he does there. Taira Nishige, the left midfielder, is also 29, and he's gone to Oita Trinita. I like Shige, but he did sort of frustrate me at times. He rarely was able to go past his defender and play crosses in. So he was a good player, but maybe he'll, for Oita, he'll in a different system he might flourish. But I'm not massively disappointed, especially at 29, to see him go. And yeah, so apart from Ikeda, who I was really disappointed to see go, Naoeguchi, for sort of sentimental reasons, been with us 6 years, and he was released. He's 30 years old. He won two J3 titles with us. Yeah, so in 2017, when they wouldn't promote us, again in 2020. Brilliant for us that season. We went up, 3 years ago, and scored a few goals. I think he got six goals and several assists, including one of the goals was from the halfway line, and he had a really good free kick and caught, took the corners and everything. He just didn't really get a lot of chances last season, I should say. Perhaps a little bit too lightweight. He's had quite a few injuries over the years, which have probably held him back. He would have gone a bit further had he not had those injuries. So I feel a bit sorry for him, but he's obviously a great character. And he's moved on to Kamatamare Sanaki in J3, so all the best to him there. Sure do quite well. And yeah, we've also loaned some players out, which again, we hadn't really done for the last couple of seasons. I don't know if it was club policy or the Ken Yoshida's policy, I'm not sure, but Shintaro Kato is a 23-year-old centre-back. He's moved to Hachinohe in J3 on loan. Koya Handa, who I quite like, sort of a bit short striker, but scored 2 in 6 sub appearances last season, which isn't bad. 24 years old. He's gone to Verspar Oita in JFL. Would have been nice to see him get a loan deal to J3. I think he could probably have handled it, but never mind. Hopefully he'll do quite well there and come back to us as a sort of stronger and more experienced player. And finally, it's kind of an interesting one, I think. Hayate Take, 27-year-old striker, has gone to Thespa Kusatsu Gunma in J2. He scored. He was top scorer with 7 in our first J2 season. Last season, I think he got 4 goals. He still did okay, but he really didn't get a lot of chances in the second half of the season. I don't know what happened. I mean, there were also other players, other strikers ahead of him who were sort of performing better, I suppose. But something just didn't click last season, and it's sort of disappointing to see it not work out. But I hope he has a great season at Gunma and can find his feet again, score a few goals. But yeah, it's an interesting one, that. As for the head coach then, Ken Yoshida, I mean, I'm very happy with how he's done, really. He's done incredibly well in the 3 seasons he's been with us. First season, 2020, we won the J3 title. 2021, in our first season in J2 ever, we came 13th. And that was a season where 4 teams were relegated, so it's a real concern going into that season that we might be one of them. And I think did we have the second lowest budget? I think it was Sagamihara had the lowest, I think, and then maybe Akita was second bottom. So to do that was extraordinary. And then last season we came 12th, and we'd increased our budget a little bit. I think it went up by about 30-40% on 2021, but it's still much lower than most of the teams. And yeah, you know, we finished a bit above teams like Machida, Omiya, who, you know, will have much higher budgets than we do. So yeah, he's done really, really well. The caveat is that the football can be quite hard to watch at times. We're obviously a very defensive side, and I understand why he sets up like this, because, as I say, we have a low budget. We can't attract, you know, classy ball players, because they will just go to other teams with more money. We, we play, was it the low block, they call it? You know, sort of 10 men behind the ball often, you know, let the other team have it. Then we sort of counter-attack, play long balls towards Saito up front, hope he runs onto them. But, so I understand why we play that type of football, but this doesn't seem to be a plan B in place. You know, if 80% of the time against the big teams, I understand it, play very defensively and, you know, counter-attacking football, that's fine. But we've often struggled at home to other teams, like the weaker teams below us in the table, with similar tactics. You know, when they're sort of sitting back and expecting us to go and play and, you know, attack them for most of the match, we've tended to lose and sort of struggle and not sure what to do, which has been quite frustrating. I think, I'm still glad that he's here with us. I think, I imagine if when he leaves, we could, you know, fall away a bit and struggle. But for him personally, you know, if he wants to find a bigger club and, you know, find a job at a bigger club in the future, I think he has to prove that he can play more attractive football and get his teams sort of passing it around a bit more. And otherwise, he might struggle to attract a better job higher up the league. Or certainly, you know, depending on where Akita are, I guess. But, you know, he might not be able to get anywhere sort of other than sort of lower J2, you know, lower half J2 side. And I assume he's ambitious and wants to, you know, aim higher. So I think he has to sort of try to do it on a small budget, basically, which is not going to be easy. But okay, as for where we're going to finish this season, realistically, I reckon it could be a tough season. I think if we can stay up, I'd be happy with that. It would be nice to finish higher, but just having such a big turnover of players means it's really difficult to predict and you know, say, okay, well, you know, 13th, 12th, maybe we can finish 11th this season. I think it's more unlikely than likely to happen. A lot of the players we brought in are sort of J3 level, and quite a few of them are promising, but it's difficult to, you know, some of them might not work out, some of them might do, but it's, you can't guarantee that all of them will fit into J2 straight away and perform excellently. So we'll have to see. But yeah, if we could make the top 10, it would be great. As I said, yeah, the new players might end up, might hit the ground running and perform excellently, and we could get some really good results. But realistically, yeah, I'd just be glad to stay up would be, I think, should be our aim, really. It's a bit negative, but we've just lost so many sort of key performers in the winter that it's probably best to set his sights quite low, and then anything above that is a bonus. As for what I'm looking forward to the most in J2, the new teams. You know, it's always nice to see new teams. S-Pulse coming down from J1. Been good to see interesting to see how they get on. Fujieda, of course, you know, Akita have played those before in J3, but Iwaki, we haven't played them yet. That's another, you know, they've replaced Iwate as like the Tohoku, you know, sort of another Tohoku team, so it'd be good to see how Iwaki gets on. Can they do a Kumamoto this season and finish, you know, high up in the playoff place? I don't know what their budget's like, but it sounds like they're a very ambitious club with a bit of money behind them, so that'd be interesting to see. Fujieda, can they do an Akita and finish somewhere sort of in mid-table? I suspect their wage budget's going to be lower than Akita's this season, so we'll see how they get on. And from a personal point of view, I'm looking forward to another away day, hopefully. Last season I went to Morioka to watch us play Iwate. This season I'm hoping to go to the away game at Sendai. We play Vegalta Sendai in Golden Week, so I'm really hoping I can get along to that. That'd be good to go to. So yeah, it's exciting times, and just, you know, it's been so long. I think it was mid-October since the season finished, so it's been so long, and we've still got a few weeks to wait. But yeah, by the time the season comes along, I'll be so excited for it. And good luck to all our respective teams, and whether J2 or J3 or J1 even. And I hope J-League fans have a fun year. All right, thank you very much. See you soon. J-Talk
Extra Time. Welcome back, everyone, and thanks to Martin Spivey at Bantam84 for his thoughts on Akita's intriguing season ahead. John Steele here again, and I'm joined, as usual, by a regular partner in crime for some more J2 season preview action. It's James Taylor. James, how are you doing? I know it's very cold and snowy in Kanazawa, but you've survived so far?
Yeah, I've spent most of the last week kind of raging against the snow, and I'll leave it up to the listeners to decide whether that's more in a kind of King Canute or Xerxes kind of way, or in a Grandpa Simpson old man yelling at cloud kind of way. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. We were gonna do the sort of competition about who is colder, who's shivering through the winter most. But you've trumped me again, James. It's much colder and snowy. That photo of your car under about 10 centimeters of snow is a stone cold classic. So yes, hopefully we can take your mind off that for a few minutes and talk about some J League action, which is coming up indecently soon, I think, isn't it? The start of the season. So the first port of call for us today is Montedio Yamagata, so we'll talk about them now. Last season, they ended up finishing sixth place, of course, making it into the playoffs, where they were ultimately unsuccessful. 17 wins, 13 draws and 12 losses in the regular season over the 42 games. 62 goals scored, which is pretty good. And a stat which I just never noticed last season, 40 goals conceded. I believe that means they had the third best defence in the league after Niigata and Tokushima, which, if you'd put me on the spot and asked me, I wouldn't have guessed that Yamagata had such a tight backline last season. James, Peter Kramowski is still in charge at Yamagata for 2023. There's a few intriguing players coming in and quite a few names leaving as well. What are we thinking?
Yeah, the big names leaving, like Kota Yamada, gone to Kashiwa. I think, like a lot of people, were surprised that he stayed in J2 as long as he did, but he definitely earned his move to J1. And Akira Silvano Dizzaro, the bald eagle, is gone back to Shimizu. So it's kind of a shame that his loan wasn't extended at Yamagata, or that he wasn't signed permanently, but I know there was a lot of negotiation with Shimizu, and I think things, a lot of it depended on what was happening at Shimizu as well. But I think those two are big losses in attack. They've also lost Riku Handa, the defender, to Gamba Osaka, and I think Johnny talked quite a lot about him on Big Pod the other week. Worth listening to, as always. In terms of signing, some interesting ones like Zayn Isaka from, he was at Yokohama FC last year. I think he was on loan from Kawasaki. And they've signed Keisuke Nishimura, the defender from Omiya. So I think it'd be interesting to see if he can settle down, because I know that he's someone that you've given him a lot of attention, but most of it is negative on the pod in the recent past. So perhaps a change of scenery will work for him, and a different manager as well. They've kept Taiki Kato. Is a very impressive wide attacker. They've still got De La Torre and Thiago Alves, who last year were the top scorers off the bench and top scorers of late goals. They kept doing it even into the playoffs. But losing Tizaro and Yamada, they've signed Yusuke Goto and Junya Takahashi, but I wonder if they'll do the business up front. And Takahashi done all right in J3 with Fukushima United, but it's still going to be up to De La Torre and Thiago Alves to do it off the bench, or I don't know. I think it's been interesting because Klimovsky's in his third year now, so he's had two winters to mould the squad and maybe even the club to more in his image or what he wants to do. And we have seen an improvement from his first half season, and in last year they finished sixth. So I'm intrigued to see if they continue to improve and if the changes that have been made in the off season to the playing personnel are effective when those players are put into his style. But what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good analysis you've given there. I think my feeling is always the way that Yamagata play, they're always likely to get chances and score goals. I know Disaro was a real key for them sort of in the tail end of last season when he came in on loan from Shimizu. But I think almost the actual personnel are slightly less important than the system and the tactics in a Peter Kramovsky side. Having said that, it looks like they have had a lot more players going out than coming in this winter, so that the squad is trimmed a little bit. Perhaps it's fair to say there's fewer players on the roster overall. I think that might be a good thing, because I think something I felt at times last year was there were kind of too many, especially midfielders and wide forwards, as you mentioned, like Taiki Kato. It's impossible to fit them all in at once. Sometimes I wasn't sure what the best 11 was, or what the preferred kind of front six was. That might be less of a problem this year. I think they will miss Kota Yamada, because any team in J2 would miss him. He's really good, and there's some flair leaving, isn't there? Riku Handa we've mentioned, and everybody should listen to Big Pod for a kind of a Riku Handa special last week. His name was mentioned quite a lot. They've also they're losing Kosuke Yamazaki, centre back, who's going to Sagan Tosu, so we can expect a couple of new kind of regulars in the back line. I think whether that is Keisuke Nishimura is a worrying prospect, but also Shunpei Naruse, I think, is on loan from Nagoya, so there will be some new players, new faces in the back line. Zayn Isaka is an interesting player, blows a little bit hot and cold, I think, as most wingers tend to do, but if they can get good performances out of him regularly, he's very quick and has a good delivery, so he'll be a good addition. Masahito Ono has come in from Omiya as well, so it'll be interesting to see how he does at what I think we can say, even though there's two teams in the same division, it's a little bit of a step up, I think, to go from Omiya to Yamagata at the moment. The player that I think is a little bit of an under-the-radar one who might turn out to be the key is Wataru Tanaka, who was very impressive in the midfield at Yamaguchi last season. I think he was on loan from Sendai. But rather than going back to Sendai and making an impression there, he's been signed permanently by Yamagata for this year. I think he is a relatively unspectacular player, but possibly a good kind of link between the defence and the midfield. So I'm expecting him to get a lot of minutes, and I think he could be a kind of under the radar. Well, obviously I'm putting him over the radar here, but I think for a lot of people could be an under the radar, kind of underrated player. I think he scored my personal goal of the season last year as well, with that one from just inside his own half. I think the additions are okay. Losing Kota Yamada felt kind of inevitable at this point, and Akira Disara was never a Yamagata player to begin with, so I think it was always on the cards that he would go back. My gut feeling is the playoffs might beckon again for Yamagata this season. I'm not sure if automatic promotion is a realistic possibility, but I think top six is a realistic target. And like you said, this is Peter Klimovsky's third roll of the dice. So I think playoffs looks very possible. Would you go along with that, James? Am I too optimistic?
No, I think so. I mean, last year they kind of left it late and they snuck in at the end. But we've seen over the last 2 years that they have that ability to go on a run. And so I expect more of the same from them. I think that they will be pushing for playoffs at least.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. The only other things I wanted to say quickly on Yamagata is they one of their midweek games, I think in, is it mid-May? There was some news about this, how it's a Wednesday match and it's a regular weekday, but they're going to kick it off in the afternoon, I think 1:30. And the idea is to make it like an educational match day and invite all, like, local school children and things.
Oh, brilliant.
So it's an interesting, it's a big call, that one, I think, rather than having like an evening game. And I wonder how much of it is driven by kind of economic considerations. But I think it's a really good example of the sort of J-League quirkiness that we like.
Yeah.
You know, they could hold the game at 7 p.m. The stadium can do it, but they're going to have it in the afternoon and kind of make it a bit of a kind of interesting experiment. So I'm looking out for that. And I believe their Yamagata's new stadium is progressing. I don't think work's actually started on that, but I think maybe next year, I think 2024 is when that's supposed to be in the works. So there are some kind of interesting off the field, you know, things to talk about at Yamagata as well. We'll probably get to those during the season rather than right now. But I think top 10 is probable, and I think top 6 is also possible if everything goes well and they keep Keisuke Nishimura out of the first team picture as much as possible. Just kidding. He's got a blank slate. He's got a clean slate with me as well for this year. So yeah, talking of clean slates, James, we're going to talk about another side who I don't know that much about. It's Iwaki FC. Now, last season, they absolutely stormed to the J3 title in their very first kind of fully professional season in the third tier. They ended up finishing a whopping 9 points clear of second place. So no arguments, they were the best team in J3 by absolutely miles. And I've heard a lot about them, obviously, in the J-Talk short corner with Mike over last season. But I'm not entirely sure how they're going to kind of shape up in this. Obviously, the level's going to be higher than last year. So Iwaki, we often describe them as an upwardly mobile team in the sort of amateur game. Or in J3 last year, they were certainly impressive. What are you expecting from them this year? And are there any players that have come in or you know, gone out that we need to keep an eye on, you think?
Well, same as you, I don't really know much about them. But thanks to Michael Master's spreadsheet, I can see the list of ins and outs. And there are quite a lot of outs. And most of them seem to have gone to regional league teams or JFL teams, which suggests that there is recognition that perhaps they would not be up to J2 standard, even though they did just comfortably win J3. I went back and listened to Mike's J3 season review of Iwaki, and it seems that the players that he mentioned as standouts, the ones who were particularly important to Iwaki, have stayed. Eiji Miyamoto and Yuto Yamashita, who I think were their starting defensive pair, were ever present in 2022. They've stayed, as well as Rei Iezumi, who was also an impressive player, according to Mike. And the striker, Ryo Arita, who got 17 goals in 31 appearances. It was the MVP. So that's 17 goals from 16 starts and 17 sub-appearances. So they've kept those important players. In terms of signings, there's a lot coming from universities. The only one that really stood out to me was Kiwara Miyazaki from Fajiano Okayama on loan. When he was younger, he was at Kanazawa for, I think, a year and a half, and he was really exciting young player. He's got older a bit. He's had injury trouble for a while when he was at FC Tokyo and never really featured for them. Didn't quite manage to break into the Okayama team as a regular, I don't think, but he's still a good player, and I think he'd probably be a good signing for Iwaki. But listening to Mike's review, he was answering questions from listeners, and one of the questions was how well he thinks Iwaki would do in J2, and he said, well, that's one for the JTET boys to answer, which is really unhelpful, so thanks for that, Mike.
Hospital yeah. Pass, Mike.
But one really interesting thing is that Iwaki's first game is against Fujieda, who came up with them, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. But yeah, it's like with every promoted team, it's really hard to know how they're going to do. But the way they kind of romped to the J3 title makes me hope that they're going to do what Kumamoto did last year and then and push for promotion to J1. It would be amazing. Mm. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think in terms of Iwaki's kind of off-field setup, they've had one foot in sort of J2 for several years, I think, in terms of like, you know, the training ground situation. And it's quite a lot of them, but by J-League standards, by lower league standards, quite a lot of money at Iwaki, I think. Mm. So they're not doing too badly in a kind of off-field situation. I know they had some kind of stadium issues because they played home games last season at the J-Village Stadium, which is part of Japan's kind of a, you know, sort of Fukushima-based like national training center. I don't think Iwaki's home ground, official home ground, is up to kind of J-League requirements. So then it'll be the J-Village Stadium again this season, as far as I know. I think promoted teams, in my mind, and this is overly simplistic, but they tend to do one of two things. There's kind of the Akita version, where they just slot into kind of mid-table immediately, and then you kind of forget they were ever, they weren't always there. They seem to have been there forever. And then there's the other version of like the kind of Sagamihara model of like really struggling. Mm. And I think Iwaki are definitely trending more towards the Akita thing, because to be honest, at times in J3 last year, they were playing J2 level football already. Yeah. I think the fact that they finished 9 points clear of everybody else, and they never really, I mean, I'm not really sure where you could say that from, but within about sort of 3 or 4 months of the season starting, it was pretty clear they were going to be a serious promotion contender. I don't anticipate they're going to be 9 points clear at the top of J2, you know, 10 months from now, but I think I'll be very surprised if they're in serious relegation trouble. Yeah. I think they'll probably comfortably somewhere in the middle between 10th or 16th. And there is the possibility, like you said, we are kind of, we're standing on the edge of a crater of ignorance, really, about the quality of a lot of these players. And they could do better and maybe go a little bit higher. But I think upper to lower mid-table is where they'll probably end up. And I think everybody will be pretty happy with that. That would represent a very successful season for them, I think. In terms of players, player transfers, I think, yeah, I picked out Kiwara Miyazaki. He's highlighted in my notes as well. Also, they brought in Toru Takagiwa, the goalkeeper, who I think went from Nagasaki to Tokyo Verdy this time last year, maybe, or 2 years ago, and didn't really get much game time. So I wonder how much, whether he'll be the starting kind of goalkeeper there. And in terms of losses, Kyowan Hoshi, I think, has gone back to Yokohama FC, his loan, which he was an important defender last year. So I think he'll be missed. That'll be a hole to be filled. And I think, I'm not really sure whether he was playing like left back or left wing back, but Masaru Hidaka is probably the only eye-catching player who's left. I think he's gone to Jeff Chiba. Mm. So he'll need replacing as well. But I think based on what they did in J3 last year, and the fact, as you mentioned, a lot of the key players like Arita have been retained, I'll be very surprised if Iwaki are in any kind of, you know, relegation trouble. But I would be equally surprised if they are too much of a force at the sharp end. I would think maybe my gut feeling is like sort of mid-table is where they will end up. But James, it has been said, you know, we've been wrong before, and we're dealing with a little bit of an unknown quantity here in Iwaki, aren't we? So Mike might be listening to this and just shaking his head in disbelief, so we'll have to get his thoughts at some point as well. So much more of an Akita than a Sagamihara, and not quite enough of a Kumamoto, possibly.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. That's a ridiculous description, but yeah, I think mid-table. The answer to the question is mid-table, James, I think.
Okay, let's take a break.
Let's take a break. At this point, yes, we are going to take a quick break because we have a contributing insert from Finn. That's at Vegalta Potter on Twitter. He's got the lowdown on the Vegalta Sendai for us, as his Twitter handle implies. So James and I are going to rest and recover. And here's Finn with his take on Sendai for 2023.
Hey, so my name's Finn. On Twitter, I'm at Vegalta Potter. This is my first full season as a fan of the J2 League and Vegalta Sendai specifically. So don't expect the most in-depth analysis, but I'll try my best today. I arrived in Japan last April, went to my first game shortly after that. High scoring 4-1 win for Sendai. Thought, wow, this isn't too bad. But then after that, during the summer, it went off the rails and we missed out on our chance of the promotion playoffs. So hopefully this season can be a bit better, but I'm excited to talk about it today. So the first signing I want to talk about is Yuta Goke from Kobe. It's a very popular move of the fans. I think he's our best-selling kit so far this season. He played junior youth at Sendai a while ago, and although he never played professionally until now for the club. So it's a bit of a homecoming move. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting from it. It's a player who can play anywhere across the attacking midfield, and he has even featured as a centre-forward for Kobe, but pretty sure he's been signed here for his play as like a wide midfielder, and he's been handed the number 11 shirt. So that's a player I'm excited to see. Another one is Everton, Brazilian player on loan midfielder from the Portuguese league. He previously has been on loan at Urawa, and they seem to have a fairly high opinion of him, and I think he'll be a good addition to the midfield. Personally, though, the most important signings for me are a pair of loan renewals. First, for Kim Tae-hyun, the Korean centre-back from Ulsan on loan. He played well last season. I think if he's paired with the right players in the defence, he can definitely shine a lot more this season. And the most important for me signing this year is the renewal of Nakajima Motohiko from Seleza Osaka on loan. For me, he was absolutely the best player we had last season. Really gave his all every game, even when a lot of the other players looked like giving up. He's deservedly been given the number 7 shirt for this season. I will say I'm really surprised he didn't go back to Seleza, because as far as I can say, he's definitely ready to play at J1 level, but I'm not sure about the situation at his home club. But I definitely won't complain about having him back for another season. And hopefully if we can make a promotion push this year and get him signed permanently for the next season. So yeah, that's my thoughts on the new signings for this season. So next is talking about player departures. In terms of one I'm most disappointed by, I wouldn't say there's any I'm particularly distraught about, but Togashi, one of our strikers, has got what I see as a probably well-deserved move up to J1 with Shonan. He didn't get a huge amount of game time, starting games anyway, at this latter half of the season, but whenever he did come on, I think he always looked really good and he scored a few goals here and there, but hopefully we can see him again soon up in J1. Nagura is another player who featured heavily. He was on loan from Nagasaki and he's gone back, but I think with players like Gorke coming in, I think we should be all right in those wide midfield positions. A fairly big one, maybe not in terms of playing the playing squad, is losing a club legend in Shingo Tomita, who was a one club man, played for Sendai since 2005. He didn't play a huge role on the pitch last season, only making a handful of appearances. But I think it'll definitely be a blow to the club culture and, you know, the dressing room atmosphere to have a player who's been around that long no longer there. But to be honest, I'm not too broken up by any of the departures this season. But I guess that remains to be seen. So Sendai started last season after getting relegated with Harasaki. I believe it was his first ever job as a manager was with us. And he definitely did well at the start of the season. Up through about the middle of the season. I think there were some really good results in there. It looked good. We were topping the table and looking good for promotion. But come summer, come the midway point of the season, it looked like he completely lost his way. And the club just wasn't looking the same. The players weren't playing well, losing a lot of games. And he ended up getting sacked with less than 10 games to go. And to be honest, I'm not sure if that was the right decision or not. Obviously, I think there was a lot of pressure to push for promotion straight back up to J1. But I'm not sure if it would have been worth sticking with him considering how late he was sacked. Akira Ito got brought in, who'd recently been sacked by Iwata after almost getting them relegated. He managed the last 8 games. He won 2, drew 2, and lost 4. So really not a stellar record, considering he was brought in to push for the promotion. He nearly got Corfu promoted a few years ago, I believe. Then he went to Iwata, didn't even last a full season. I think he left them towards the bottom of the table when he got sacked. So even knowing as little as I did about him, it was a bit of a head-scratcher. Like I said, I wasn't sure it was the right time to sack him, to sack Harasaki, whether we should have waited a bit longer or even sacked him earlier. I can't say we got any better or worse with him in charge. It just kind of stayed the same through the end of the season. But I will say I'm happy on paper with a lot of the work he's done with the squad in the off-season in terms of transfers and moving players around. And I think it's only fair that now he's in the job, he should get a chance with the squad he's had a chance to build. And we'll see how it goes. But hopefully we don't come to regret it. Towards the end of the season, he was moving some players around and trying some new formations with varying degrees of success. I'm not really sure what the plan is, if he's got a set formation for the next season, but we'll have to see. I'm fairly optimistic about it, but in the back of my mind, I know that it could go very wrong very quickly. So where do I think we'll finish in my head and in my heart? So I'm quite optimistic, as I've said, and I think the wider Vegelta community that I've been seeing seems to feel the same. But then again, I think there was a similar feeling at the start of last season that we could go straight back up and obviously didn't. So it could be a now or never thing, which maybe is a little trauma I'm carrying over from my home club, Stoke City, you know, where you go down expecting to come back up, and if you don't get it right straight away, things can really fall apart very quickly. And I think it's important that they push up. Vegelta is pushed back up while there's still a good sense of upward direction around the club and people are still optimistic. In my heart, I don't see why the title shouldn't be within reach. I don't see any reason why we can't push for one of those spots and even to the top. I will say I'm not too familiar with a lot of the teams that have come down and some of the better teams around us. So I'll have to kind of look into that more over the season, see how things go. But like I say, I see no reason why we can't get promoted or even top the table. So that's my hopes and my realistic thoughts for the season ahead. So in terms of what I'm looking forward to overall in J2 this year, like I said at the start, this is my first full J2 season. So most of all, I'm really excited to see that, not even just Sendai, see how the entire league goes. And I'm really looking forward to getting fully involved in the league this season. I'm also within that, in terms of the match day experience, looking forward to the hopeful further loosening of COVID restrictions. I'm looking forward to seeing more cheering, a bit less restriction in the stadium. I don't think the masks will come off quite yet, but and whether they should or not, I don't really know. But yeah, I'm looking forward to things getting a bit more back to normal in the stadium because I'm really excited to hear the fans of all teams in full voice this season. And last of all, personally, I'm really excited to plan some away days and hopefully see some parts of the country, obviously, that you'd expect to go to, like maybe a Tokyo away day. But and in J2 specifically, I think there's some teams in some really interesting places that I probably wouldn't go to if it weren't for an away day. So I think that'd be a good opportunity for me to see other parts of the country and other stadiums and teams and see how they do things. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to the season this year, and hopefully Vegota can push for those promotion places. Cheers for having me on. I hope I made a bit of sense and didn't sound too like I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm looking forward to learning more about the league and all the other teams. And yeah, hopefully some good results coming our way. Cheers.
Yeah, thanks for that, Finn, at Vigalta Potter on Twitter. Yeah, we're all hoping and curious to see if Sendai can kind of put last year's playoff kind of missing out heartbreak behind them. John Steele is back, and so is James. We're going to continue, James, and talk about. We have a trio of teams to cover in the next section. We're going to be talking about Shizuoka, a kind of famous heartland, traditionally of Japanese football. But the team we're going to talk about first, perhaps not so traditional, James, Fujieda. My FC, they surprised everyone, by which I mean me, by finishing second in J3 last season, just a single point ahead of perhaps more likely promotion candidates Kagoshima and Matsumoto. So they pipped those two kind of bigger sides to promotion. They're up into J2 for this year for the first time ever. Still rubbing my eyes in disbelief. It's amazing to see them in the second tier. To celebrate, James, they've had an absolute party in the winter transfer window. Loads of players have come in and gone out. So any transfers that have caught your eye at Fujieda, and how is the season going to go for them, do you think, in J3? We're kind of in similar territory to Iwaki, I suppose, in terms of our sort of fundamental ignorance. But what are you thinking?
Well, that's a fundamental ignorance about most teams, really. So familiar territory for us and for the listeners as well. Yeah, looking again at Michael Masters' spreadsheet, it's a very long list. What's funny about it is that they basically appear to have replaced the entire squad. There's the same number of ins and outs for goalkeepers and defenders. Or they've got one or two extra midfielders come in and what, three extra forwards gone. But there's a lot of business that they've done over the winter. They've been very busy. Interestingly for me, three of their players have gone to Fukui United in the Hoshinetsu Regional League. They're one of my local teams. Two of them strikers. Tsugutoshi Oishi and Yuki Oshitani. Now, Oishi only managed an hour of football last year, but he has a good scoring record in J3. Oshitani does too. And in their place, they've signed a Brazilian called Anderson, and they've got Ken Yamura on loan from Albirex Niigata. Now, I'm not sure if they have managed to replace those goals or their experience. I mean, Yamura's experience, but he only managed one goal. He only managed 11 league appearances last year. For injury, I assume. I can't remember. They've also lost Tomoyuki Doi, who, again, is a pretty good, who had a pretty good record in J3. So maybe concerning in terms of where the goals are going to come from. Really hard to know whether they've upgraded or not, but there are a couple of names that stood out. I mean, they've also lost Kei Uchiyama, the goalkeeper, has gone to Tosu. He was again, I listened to Mike's review on Fujieda, so Uchiyama was in the best 11. But they have kept Keisuke Ogasawara and Taisuke Mizuno, Keigo Enomoto, Akiyuki Yokoyama, Masahito Sugita, Tojiro Kubo, all players that Mike mentioned as impressive last year. They've signed one name I recognised, Masayuki Yamada from Omiya, the defender. He was briefly at Kanazawa a few years ago. Not spectacular, but solid, I think. and fairly experienced, which will go should slot in quite nicely. The manager, Daisuke Sudo, got a great review from Mike as well. So I don't know how they're going to do, but I'm very intrigued. Have you got any idea?
Ooh, very little I can add to that. Yeah. I think I think the key thing about the manager Daisuke Sudo is it's a very attacking style of football that he plays with lots of chances and lots of goals. So I think we're in for an interesting and entertaining ride with Fujita this season. I think as much as possible they're going to try and take the game to whoever they're playing against, especially at home, where they scored a lot of goals with Sudo in charge last year. I think in terms of the ins and outs, I mean, like you said, when the whole squad basically gets a facelift like that, it's very difficult to think about how they're going to play. But Daisuke Sudo had success with that kind of attacking style in J3 last year. I don't see any reason why he would change it too much. So I think we can expect a kind of attacking kind of front foot style football, whoever is playing. Kei Uchiyama, the goalkeeper, leaving is a blow, I think, but they do have replacements in the form of Kosuke Okanishi from Kofu, I've always really liked. I think he's a good keeper. And Tomoki Ueda from Omiya has come in as well, and I like him too. So I think perhaps, although they've lost Kei Uchiyama, they might even be stronger in goal for this season. They have added a third goalkeeper in the winter window, which is Kai Chidi Kitamura. I don't know anything about him at all, other than to say he's from Toyin Yokohama University. That players tend to get picked up by YSCC from there in the past, so I'm wondering if perhaps he's too good for YSCC already and has gone up, or YSCC didn't see anything to bring him in. I don't know anything about this player, but I don't expect he'll be getting many minutes in J2. I think it's between Okanishi and Ueda probably for the jersey in goal. The rest of the team, there are a couple of interesting players coming from J3 that they're kind of bringing up with them. That's Yudai Tokunaga from Miyazaki, who I think had a really impressive season 2 years ago, like most of the Miyazaki squad. Less impressive last year, but definitely a good player, kind of a right-sided attacker. And also Naoya Uozato, who managed to impress while playing for Gainare Tottori, no mean feat, yeah. Of course. So I've got a feeling he plays on the left. I'll have to double check. But you might see these names, Uozato and Tokunaga, kind of on the flanks, on the wings, this season coming up. I think what you highlighted, James, the key point was the pause after you mentioned Anderson and Ken Yamura. I think I'm with you. I think they're going to struggle to. I mean, I don't know anything about Anderson. I presume it's not Sonny Anderson. I think he's too old now to be playing. I think Fujita are going to, even with their kind of front foot and aggressive kind of attacking football, I think they're going to struggle to score goals this year, just based on the squad as it looks now. And I would suspect, I don't think it's a cast iron guarantee that they're going to be struggling all year. But I would expect them to finish closer to the bottom than Iwaki for sure. And I think there is the potential for a kind of Sagamihara style. I mean, if you remember, they nearly survived, didn't they, Sagamihara? Yeah. There's only a point or so in it by the end. But I think Fujita are going to have a hard, it's going to be a hard season for them, I think. And you mentioned that first game against Iwaki. It'd be very interesting to see how that goes. We don't want to read too much into one match on the first day of the season. But I think Fujita's squad looks okay in terms of number of bodies in there. But I think quality-wise, they look more like an upwardly mobile J3 side still, I think. And they might have a tough, I think it's going to be a tough, I think I'm definitely, if I had to put them in a bracket for listeners to kind of what the expectations should be, I'm thinking Iwate and Sagamihara are kind of a natural sort of comparison with Fujita. But we've been wrong before, we might be wrong again. I did see some Twitter photos of the backstand at Fujita, which is coming along nicely at their stadium, because last year in J3 they didn't really have a backstand. It was just like a grass bank in front of the main stand. So I think they're having seats installed there, and I assume that'll be ready for the time soon enough, by the time the season starts. But so things moving in the right direction off the pitch for them for sure. But I suspect an attritional season looms, and I think Fujita against Gunma, for example, is going to be a big. They're going to be big games this season. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know, James. That's the bottom line. But looking at the players that they have available, I would be very surprised if that squad is in the top half, for example. And I think the bottom six, bottom seven, maybe. looks like. Talking of, you know, kind of ins and outs during the winter transfer window, we'll stay in Shizuoka, James, but we'll move to a team where it's legally a requirement that you to use the word powerhouse when you mention this team. Historically speaking, it's Jubilo Iwata. I think familiar, much more familiar name to the listeners than Fujieda, I suppose. They ended up finishing bottom of J1 in 2022, 18th place, of course, they're relegated, just 6 wins from their 34 matches. And I think the key point to mention about them before we talk about their transfers, James, is that they're under a transfer kind of embargo at the moment, aren't they, for this window, and I believe the summer transfer window as well. This is because of a CAS ruling that Iwata are responsible for the Colombian striker Fabian Gonzalez. They induced him to break an agreement or a contract that he'd signed with a team in Thailand. You know, he'd already agreed a deal to go to a club in Thailand. Iwata kind of hijacked that deal after, I think, paperwork had already been done or agreements had already been made. So the punishment for that is, I think, Iwata had to pay a fine to the club in Thailand, which I don't think was ever named, or they've been punished financially. But they also have this two-window-long transfer ban. But the way that football works is a bit mysterious, because they do have some ins and outs anyway, don't they, despite being under embargo. So what can you tell us about the business that they've done, and where do you think they might finish this year? Because normally we say newly relegated teams have a chance of going straight back up, but I wonder if you feel that way about Iwata.
No, I don't. And that transfer ban is the main reason for it. And they're able to bring in a couple players recall them from loan, and I think they promoted someone from their under 18s, and they managed to get Kinyu Sugimoto from Urawa Reds. Now, I'm not sure.
Some people might say that's another sanction from Cass. Yeah.
I think having to rely on him and Rio Germain for goals is not particularly inspiring. And they haven't lost many players either, which means that their section on Michael Masters' spreadsheet is mercifully short. But it does mean that I don't think they're going to be a powerhouse this year. I think they will be. I think they'll be mid-table. I don't think they're going to push for the playoffs. I mean, obviously they've got good players, but I mean they haven't been able to freshen up the squad, so they're going to be relying on a lot of the players who struggled last year and finished bottom of J1. And they've still got Yasuhito Endo. There was some talk of him maybe going to Kagoshima, but is he still at Iwata?
As far as I know, yeah. I don't think anything's announced otherwise. Yeah.
I mean, he's a good player, but he's 43, so. Again, I don't think they can be relying on him to drag them through a 42-game season, even if he is still a very good player, which obviously he is. But what is interesting is their new manager, Akinobu Yokouchi, has. I had a look, and he's had experience working with the Japan under-21s and the under-23s a few years back. So I think he will be able to sort of, they're going to have to play a lot of the younger players because they haven't been able to bring in any sort of more established or experienced players. So perhaps his experience there will stand them in good stead. But J2 is a slog. It's a long old season. And I think they are going to find that mid-table would be a good finish for them in 2023. What do you think?
Yeah, I think looking at the strength that some of the other teams we've talked about have in depth in terms of playoffs, like Yamagata, for example, it's very difficult to confidently say that Iwata would be a playoff contender. I think they would be pretty happy to kind of just get through this season and finish in mid-table. We should mention as well, of course, as a kind of relegated J1 team, they're also faced with the Levan Cup group stage. Ugh. So they have 6 group stage games now, which is maybe not normally a problem, and obviously they'd be happy to probably go out of the tournament at that group stage, but they have to fill out squads you know, for those games, and they're kind of short of numbers. You know, they have to promote players from their youth team ranks, for example, you know, to fill out the squad. In terms of players leaving, yes, I don't think it's as bad as it could have been. Right, I think the goalkeeper Alexei Kosolev didn't really make any impression at all. He's been released. Kentaro Oi, I think, has retired. And he's gone as well. Atsushi Kurokawa perhaps would have been a useful player to have on the books in J2, but he's gone to Machida. But I think Yokouchi is a little bit of a gamble for me. I know you're right to point out he has a lot of experience as sort of in the Japan national team setup, doesn't he? At different age levels, under 20, under 23, and I believe, is it right, he was kind of nominally the under the Olympic team manager. But I think he was moved aside so that Hajime Moriyasu could be the Olympic team manager for the Tokyo Olympics. But his record as a J-League manager is one match only as a caretaker Hiroshima manager in 2017, when I believe Moriyasu had been had just been fired or left. So there is a connection there with Moriyasu. But I think that is a bit more of a dice roll than it might sound, and I'm not sure how well Yokoichi is going to deal with what is a very, to be fair to him, it's going to be a tough situation, I think, in terms of playing something. But if you're going on the flip side, you could say Iwata usually have a pretty big squad, and they do have quite a good youth system that's produced good players in the past, so they should be able to be competitive. But I think this transfer ban business, and I think they actually appealed the transfer ban, didn't they? But that was turned down. So, they're going to have the full punishment, and they're not going to be able to bring in players, I don't think, in the summer window either. Mm. So, I think it's going to be a season to just get through this year for them. And I'd be very surprised if they are in and around the sort of playoff picture. Stranger things have happened, I suppose. But, I don't really think the fact that you said they've not been able to freshen up the squad in any meaningful way, I don't think bringing in Kenyu Sugimoto counts. Yeah, that I think mid table is perhaps as good as they can hope for. I would think, James. I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. Interesting times ahead, and perhaps this transfer ban might give Yokoichi a little bit of a free pass, a little bit more time to work with the squad, and they might be back stronger in 2024. We'll wait and see. Talking of back stronger, James, we'll move on. We'll stay in Shizuoka, but talk about another kind of big team that we need to consider: Shimizu S-Pulse. Of course, big kind of derby rivals with Iwata, of course. Last season in J1, Shimizu finished 17th, which meant that they were relegated. I think they finished 4 points adrift of safety in the end. And their kind of transfer ins and outs Michael Master spreadsheet is a lot more like Fujieda's than Iwata's, isn't it? So Shimizu, James, what can we expect? What are you thinking?
Yeah, not sure. And lots of outs. And of the outs, the ones that stand out for me are the likes of Valdo, who, although perhaps not the most reliable defender, I think he was a regular for them. So that's a gap they need to fill. And Pikachu, of course, is a name that stands out because of his name, not necessarily for anything he did on the pitch. So I didn't really see them last year, so I don't really know too much about them. But I know in the off-season there was a lot of talk about what was happening with Thiago Santana and Di Sarro, who we talked about a little bit earlier. And they've recalled Di Sarro from his loan at Yamagata, and they've kept Thiago Santana. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, so he was their top scorer. He got 14 goals in 27 appearances last year, which is a good return. But what's interesting is that Di Sarro was sent out on loan by Teo Ricardo, who came in halfway through last year. And then now he's recalled him. How's he going to use him? How is Teo Ricardo going to use Di Sarro, if at all? Because I don't know if he didn't like the look of him last year, or he just wanted to get a look at him playing in J2. We know that Di Sarro is a good J2 striker, because he's shown that at Yamagata and also at Kitakyushu a couple of years ago. So I'm hoping that he will get game time. I'm hoping that he will score goals, although not against Kanazawa, even though he often seems to. But apart from that, I don't really know what to expect from Shimizu. I mean, I guess they'll be hoping that they can go straight back up, of course, but I'm not sure. So I'm just going to throw the hospital pass back to you.
No, fair enough. I think looking at the squad on paper and knowing what I know about Shimizu as I would never describe myself as a proper football man, because that's obviously a toxic expression. But I think Shimizu is I think of them as a J1 side, J1 stadium and facilities, history. For example, of course, the iconic kits that they have with the jowl kind of, globe and things. Mm-hmm. It's kind of surprising. I'm always surprised to see them outside the top flight, and it never seems to last for long. They always seem to get back into J1 fairly quickly. My gut feeling is they're a serious automatic promotion contender, but I'm not sure how much I'm basing that on my sort of image of Shimizu as a J1 team and how much I'm basing that on the squad that they have right now. They have lost some players that they obviously would have preferred to keep. Teruki Hara, I think the defender, has gone to Grasshoppers in Zurich. Is that right, on loan? And Yuito Suzuki, just in the last few days, been confirmed he's going to Strasbourg in France on loan. There's always the fingers crossed possibility that those moves won't work out and they'll be back at Nihon Daira before too long. But obviously we wish them well. I think an interesting transfer is Daigo Takahashi moving to Machida, because he is the kind of player where you'd think they might want to keep, and certainly not sell to a probably, you know, promotion rival or playoff rival. So that was an interesting one that raised my eyebrow. Perhaps it speaks to the fact that they probably think they have enough quality already. A player like Daigo Takahashi is not going to get much game time and is not required. Defence looks interesting because they've done a bit of a swaparoo with Kashua, haven't they? I think they've sent two defenders, Eichi Katayama and Yugo Tatsuta. Now they've gone to Kashua, but Kengo Kitazume, who is proven at J2 levels, come in, and Yuji Takahashi as well, so kind of a bit of a defender as well. Yutaka Yoshida, right back from Nagoya, has come in as well, so I think there's plenty of kind of J1/J2 level quality in the defence. Yeah, I think keeping Thiago Santana is the key one, right? He's a proven goal scorer at J1 level, and I think he's going to give J2 defences a lot of problems, a lot of trouble. And if he's having an off day or he's not fit, then you've got, you mentioned Disaro, who is a proven J2 goal scorer and a bit of a nightmare for defenders as well. So I think that squad looks pretty strong to me, even in taking into account players that have left. I think top six is probable for them, and possibly top two if everything goes well and they got all the ducks in the row. I know there are lots of ins and outs in the squad, but it looks a bit more like a kind of evolution there, even though there's a huge number of players coming in and out. So I think promotion, well, it's obviously going to be the target, but I think it looks like a realistic one. And I'd be very surprised if they're not in the top six at the end of the season, I think. A theme we've come back to again and again, is we've been surprised, you know, we're surprised on a regular basis. But what are you thinking? If you were gun to your head, James, for Shimizu, top six, top two, or somewhere else?
Well, yeah, top six at least. I think any team that comes down, and apart from, you know, Iwata with their transfer ban, any team that comes down should really be looking to go straight back up. And like you've said, they seem to have evolved their squad rather than suffered too much. Although I am kind of intrigued by the sheer number of midfielders that have gone, and hardly any come in. But I guess, like, if they're bringing in a lot of players from J1 teams, then they should be pretty high up, I guess.
Yeah, I see. No, I think that stands to reason, but we'll wait and see. I think perhaps Ricardo, it's not his first season in charge. You know, I'm not sure how much experience, knowledge he has of J2, but he knows his squad and the situation set up at Shimizu. So I think all those things point to a successful, or we should say a chance of a successful campaign for them, I think. So yes, I think of the three Shimizu-based teams, sorry, the three Shizuoka-based teams, I think it's definitely Shimizu are looking the most likely, aren't they? Most ready for the season ahead. Okay, James, yeah, good stuff. Okay, talking of being ready for the season ahead, James, we'll leave it there for part two of our season preview, I think, but we'll get together again soon because we still have part three to come. We are going to look at, well, all the teams that we haven't covered so far, teams in kind of the South and West Japan and Kyushu as well. So yeah, still seven more teams for us to discuss at length in part three, but let's leave it there for part two. And thanks for listening to the pod as ever, and downloading and giving us your attention for an hour or so each week. Thanks also to the JTalk patrons who support us in the big pod financially. We appreciate that a great deal. We don't take that lightly, so thank you. And we'll leave it there for part two, but please stay tuned. Part three of our big J2 season preview is coming up soon. Enjoy your football. Bye for now.